good evening. Let's start by standing and singing number 64, All Creatures of Our God and King. Let's sing the odd verses 1, 3, and 5 of number 64.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou flowing water, pure and clear, make music for thy Lord to hear. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou far so masterful and bright, that givest man both warmth and light. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Be seated. I think Mike is going to come and open our service.
Well, tonight we have an opportunity to hear from Tiffany Taylor, who's with Camino Global. She's been down in Mexico. And she is going to give us an update tonight, and then Brad's going to give us a message. So let me pray for us to get us started, please. Father, we do thank you for your loving kindness to us. Thank you for the ability to be involved in what you're about in the world. Father, thank you for Tiffany and what she's been doing, and Father, her willingness to go and go into strange places, difficult places. Away from home, away from family, away from friends. And Father, we know that you have called us all to give up our families and friends for the gospel. And Father, to go and preach the gospel. And Father, we just thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for her message that she's going to give to us. Thank you for Brad. Pray that you would be with Brad tonight as he brings the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. Sorry, that was loud. Like Mike said, my name is Tiffany Taylor. I've been serving for a little over 3 years in a place called Ixtapaluca, Mexico. It's about 45 minutes southeast of Mexico City. You can get to the airport in about 45 minutes, anywhere from 45 minutes to 5 hours, depending on traffic. So that doesn't really help much, but anyway, so the area that I've been working in Ixtapaluca is called Jesus Maria, and for the last 3 years I've been on a church planting team working in conjunction with two other missionary families and another single missionary in that area. And so what I wanted to share a little bit tonight is just kind of the process that I've seen the Lord work in the last 3 years. I was blessed to be able to start on the team just as they were beginning to start the work in Jesus Maria. So they started having some Bible studies with a few families that were interested. And then they first began meeting in their way. In this home, they rented, this is just what the homes look like in the area I was living in. So this is where they began meeting to have church. And we would have at the beginning anywhere from about 30 to 35 people. And you can see this is kind of what it looked like inside. And after a while, it became very cramped, which was a good problem to have. And people would start coming and they would be standing outside. And so as the church began to grow, we began to rent. This was the second meeting place. It was just a large open space that on top of a little store. So the store owners had created this space that people could rent out. So every Sunday morning, this is where the church currently continues to meet. Right now we have anywhere from, I would say, around 100 people coming, including children and everyone. But with this last summer, the church was able to purchase a piece of property right in Jesus Maria. And I took these pictures right before I left about a month ago. And this is the area that they're working on. Hopefully within the next few weeks, they'll be able to start having church in this church property. But this is just a room kind of on the back of the property that eventually will be used for just like a events or general use room. And then this is what it looks like when you're looking out from that space. So the Lord really blessed the church with a nice piece of property. And right now, like I said, once they have like a something covering the roof, they'll begin meeting in this church property piece. I would ask, there's opposition that comes when it makes things a little bit more permanent. When you have a building in a community, a Christian church in a community, and we have seen opposition there. When we were first beginning to start construction work on the property, it's kind of amazing, just all the people that came out, and you had this whole big group of people that weren't very happy about it. And they were able to stop some of the process. There's still currently no water on the property because of some of the legal permits that we need to get in order to do that. Which typically it's not a problem, but we are a Christian Bible church, so there's some opposition against that. So it's something you can pray for, that the church would be a light in the community, a light to their neighbors living around the church property, and that they too would come to know Christ through that. So in the church, typically every week we would have a new family within the church. And thinking back across, you know, these last 3 years, it has been just amazing to see how the Lord draws people to Himself, and how it's nothing that I do or the other missionaries do, but how it's just a complete work of the Lord. And how people, once, you know, new believers go out and spread the word. You know, they want to tell their friends, they want to tell their family, and then, you know, they come to the church as well. So it's just been a real blessing to see that process. And I would say about 90% of the people that are coming to the church now, you know, are new believers within the last 3 years. And so it's just really cool to see how the Lord works and draws people to Himself. So the philosophy of the church planters that I work with in Mexico is in order to get to know the community, he has what we call a community center. And here's a picture of what our community center looks like. We own three storefronts, or locales is what they're called. The turquoise colored one, we own. The one on the right side, kind of with the yellow awning, is a kitchen, and that's where we have like our baking classes, and if there's any church activities, a lot of time we'll hold it here at the community center. And then there's one directly in front of the kitchen that we own that we have a coffee shop in, a place that people can just come hang out and enjoy a nice cup of coffee. And we also offer at the community center different classes. So the philosophy is to have this community center. That's how we offer things that they're interested in, as just a way to get to know them on a non-threatening basis. So we teach English classes, baking classes, dance. I did a country line dance class, and guitar. We've had piano, kids' craft time, just anything that they would be interested in. And so they come, and all the classes are free to them. And it's just a way that we can get to know them. And a lot, typically every semester, we have new families coming in, which is also, it's always our prayer, you know, that the Lord would bring new people, new families that we could get to know and just share the love of Christ with them. During my time, the last 3 years, besides from the community center activities, I co-led the youth group. So during Sunday morning services, we would take the youth out and have a Sunday school time with them. And then a lot of times after church, you know, hold activities with the youth in the church. And also, Tina and I, the other single missionary gal there, would lead a girls' Bible study once a week. So really my responsibilities these last 3 years, and it grew, you know, as my Spanish improved. You can do a lot more. So able to teach in the community center and then also teach in the church as well. I did want to share some prayer requests for you. I know that many of you have been praying for me and for the ministry in Mexico. And it's such a great blessing to know that I have so many people here praying for that. So I wanted to share a few prayer requests with you. Like I mentioned, the church property and just the neighbors that are surrounding that, there's just been different things, you know, things stolen from the property site and just opposition against having the church there. So just that the Lord would work in the lives of those neighbors and would continue to encourage the church members as they go through this process. There's also a youth. His name is Diego. And he actually came to us this summer. He's the only one out of his family that came. But he came during one of our, we had a youth rally in July. And he came, and everybody was kind of, you know, who is he? You know, but he came that week. He accepted Christ, and he began coming to different church activities, to youth group. And just right before I left, it came out. He told us that he had a drug problem. And so this last couple weeks, he's been in the process of entering a drug rehabilitation site. And so if you would just pray for him, in order for him to go, he is a minor, so his dad needs to give him permission to do that. His dad is not a believer. And so you can just pray for Diego and for his family and that he would be able to go through this. And so for Diego. Angelica and her family, she has three daughters and then her husband, they started coming to classes at the community center last semester, and they would come very faithfully to pretty much every class we would offer. And right before I left again, the missionary family had been meeting with them one-on-one, doing a discipleship study with them. So pray for them that they would come to know the Lord. And so it's Angelica, and she has three girls and then her husband. You can pray for Ishmael and Marta. They're, he's the pastor of the church. And there's just a lot of things that he has to do. And just pray for him, for wisdom, guidance, as they're going through this process of actually building a church. And then just of all the responsibilities that he has with that. And then the elder is Samuel and Aurora. Right now in their family, Aurora's father is in a different state in Mexico and is very ill. And so you can pray for them, for their family. And just once again for wisdom, discernment, as they're going through this process of the church plant. The next thing I wanted to share briefly about was, okay, so what's next for me or what am I doing? I don't really have a good answer for that, but I do still feel like I'm called to Mexico. And I'm here in Arkansas until January, and then I'm trying to decide what exactly is next. The organization I'm with, Camino Global, you can only do so many, okay, I'll stay for one more year. And then they want you to decide, okay, you're going to go long-term or not. So that's where I am. So I'd appreciate your prayers with that I would be obedient to what God has for me, and that he would make that very clear. One other thing I wanted to share, Camino Global offers various summer internship opportunities. Each summer in Ixtapaluca, we would receive anywhere from 4 to 8 summer interns. This is available to anyone who is a senior graduating from high school all the way up into college. They offer internships in Guatemala, in Mexico, Honduras, Colombia, Uruguay, Spain, and they also have a couple of options here in the United States. So if there's anybody interested in that, I have more information on that, or if you have any questions for me, I'd love to speak to anybody who might be interested in that. But once again, I do thank you for your prayers, and I thank the Lord for the process that he's brought me on over these last 3 years. Thanks.
Outstanding. Thank you, Tiffany. It's good to hear an update. We've been praying fairly faithfully, haven't we, every Wednesday to over the year. And as you send updates, we continue to pray. So it's great to see you and just get caught up and hear what's going on in your life. And we'll certainly be praying. In fact, why don't we just bow together and pray right now for Tiffany and the work there. Lord, thank you for this encouraging report. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given to Tiffany and just her faithfulness, Lord, and her desire to serve you and be available. And we're just grateful for the work that you've done in her life and through her, the partnership that she has with Camino Global and the ministry opportunity she's had in Ixtapaluca, and just for the relationships there, Lord, and opportunities to plant seeds and water seeds. Just thank you for that. We do pray for the ongoing work there, for the facilities and relationships with neighbors as they continue to build and have a presence there in that community. Pray that you would just make their church a real lighthouse. It'd be a magnet. People would want to come there and be a part of what's going on there. We pray for the pastor and the elders, they lead. You would just give wisdom to them, encourage them, give visible fruit so that they remain encouraged and are able to persevere and be faithful in that work. But bless them, bless their families, bless the health of their families. And for these new believers, Lord, and those that are being discipled, for Diego, and just pray you would just protect him, Lord, deliver him from this drug problem, cause this rehab to be made available to him so that he can participate in that. But just pray you would snatch him out of the fire and protect him from that and deliver him from that and cause him to really grow in his walk with Christ. And for Angelica and her family as well, that you would just continue to draw them and do your work there. But thank you for Tiffany, and Lord, for what's ahead for her. We just pray you'd guide her, give wisdom, direction, just make it very, very clear to her what's next and what she should do. If she needs to go back there and make a long-term commitment to that, we just pray you would make that very, very clear. And you know her heart. You know she just wants to serve you and be available and go wherever you send her. So direct her, and we'll just look forward to how you're going to work there. And maybe there's someone here that would want to participate in one of these internship opportunities. We just pray you'll continue to put it on our hearts to be goers, to be missions-minded, to be willing and ready to go wherever you might send. And these short-term opportunities are great opportunities, great ways to just examine whether that's your calling on our lives. So for some of the young people here especially, we pray that you would just direct them in that way. But thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace in just enabling us to be a part of the work that you're doing here and around the world. And give you all the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Well, open your Bible if you would. Let's continue our study. We're working through the Songs of Ascent, Psalm, 120 to 134. These pilgrimage songs, and tonight I want us to, in the time we have, go ahead and try to cover Psalm 128 as well. And I have good news for you tonight. I know what God wants you to be. Some of you aren't sure what you're supposed to be. I know what you're supposed to be. I know what God wants you to be. Your parents may have other plans. Your brother or sister may have other plans. The world certainly has other plans maybe for you, but I know that God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. And this psalm talks about that. It tells us who God blesses and how he blesses them. So let's look at it together. Psalm 128. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Now, this is one of the family psalms. One of the psalms, 127 and 128, are two that kind of deal with the home. And they're wonderful psalms, very encouraging psalms, pictures of the blessedness of a family that loves the Lord and fears the Lord and walks with the Lord. And this is in that vein. And so it's a very practical and beautiful psalm that we love. It's also one that is somewhat difficult to apply to our lives today. We have to sort of read this with the understanding of its context. This was written to and about Jews, right, living in Israel within the context of the Old Covenant. And we are not Jews living in Israel under the Old Covenant. So we have to understand that at the outset. Hermeneutically, we have to be careful with kind of what we do with this passage and how we apply it to our lives. Nevertheless, the principles that are here certainly do apply to us. This is a picture of a blessed life. That's the point, right? This is the blessedness of the fear of the Lord. This is a description of the kind of life that is common for those who belong to the Lord. You're blessed. That's the obvious theme here. Now, not every Christian today is going to be blessed in this particular way. Not every Christian is to be married. Not every couple is to have children. The blessing of God will take different forms. It may or may not take the form of material prosperity. It may or may not take the form of multiplied children and grandchildren. But the principle of what is being communicated here remains. There is a life of blessing for the people of God, right? God blesses his people. Would you agree with that? That is the dominant thrust of this. The word, in fact, there are two different words here, Hebrew terms here used, that are translated bless or blessed. And they're terms that appear hundreds and hundreds of times in the scripture. Maybe one of the most prominent concepts in the Bible. You can hardly read a page of scripture without seeing one of these works. God is all about blessing people. Maybe the most dominant activity of God that's mentioned in the scripture is God blessed so-and-so, right? That is a dominant thing that happens all through history, all through the pages of scripture. In fact, if you just look at sort of the horizon of biblical history, redemptive history, you have mountain peak type events that stand up above all the other, that stick out the highest. And in each of those, the emphasis is on blessing. Think of creation, right? That's a major event in the timeline of redemption, creation. And that mountain we might call Mount Paradise. It stands, and we see it from a distance. It looms large. God created everything, including Adam and Eve. And after he made man, what did he do? He blessed man. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it," and so on. God made man, and then God blessed man. And then you move from there to, well, you move through the fall and the curse, right? The opposite of blessing, and then everything after that is basically to restore the blessing. Come to the covenant, the next major mountain we could call Mount Moriah, where God in Genesis 12 chose Abraham to be the man through whom he would bless the world, right? He was going to bless Abraham and through him bless all nations. So again, the theme of blessing. Then the ultimate seed of Abraham came, Christ. Mount Calvary became then the next mountain peak. And what was God saying to us through Christ? Why did God send Jesus into the world? Acts 3:26, "For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways." So God sent Jesus to bless you, to reverse the curse brought on the world by our sin and position us in a right relationship with God so that his blessings could flow to us and through us. And Paul makes the connection between Christ and the covenant in Genesis or in Galatians 3, where he says, "Those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer." So creation was about blessing, covenant was about blessing, Christ was about blessing. What's left? Consummation. Mount Zion. And what's that about? Well, Revelation 22:3, the very last chapter of the Bible, there shall be no more what? Curse. And when there's no more curse, what does that leave? blessing. Revelation 22:14, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the enter by the gates into the city. So, you know, you back up and you look at the flow of history, the flow of redemption, the flow of Scripture. What's the big idea? What's the theme? What's the common thread running through all of it, from creation to new creation, from paradise to paradise lost to paradise restored? It's what? What's the game plan? Blessing. God wants to bless. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless mankind. And here's how He intends to do that. Here's how you enter into that blessing. So this psalm sort of focuses on that in a very beautiful, poetic, tangible, practical way. One little boy described his first elevator ride like this. I went inside a little room and the upstairs came down. And that's the idea here of the blessing of God. That's what God wants to do, is bring all the blessing of heaven down. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be a blessing to others. So that's what this psalm is about. And you can see that just as easily as I can. It's not hard to pick out the theme in most of these psalms that we've looked at. The word blessed, right? Verse 1, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Verse 2, you will be happy. That's the same word. You will be blessed and it will be well with you. Verse 4, behold, for thus shall a man be blessed who fears the Lord. And verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. Two different words, each used twice, both translated bless or blessed. That is the obvious theme of this psalm. So let's look at the two thoughts here. Whom does the Lord bless and how? First of all, verse 1 tells us, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His way. So that's the condition, if you will, for getting in on the blessing of the Lord. You must fear the Lord and walk in His ways. But everyone who does that is blessed. This is who God blesses. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, practically, the parallel thought is to walk in His ways. So those who fear the Lord walk in His ways. You do that, you're blessed. And the word blessed is a great word in the Old Testament, good word study. It's a fun word to look up and trace through the Bible. But it just means to be happy. It means fortunate. It's the word Asher. It's the name given to Jacob's second son by Zilpah, the handmaid of Leah, who said at his birth, how fortunate am I? How happy am I? Women will call me blessed. So she named him that. You will be happy if you fear the Lord. You will be considered fortunate if you walk in His ways. That's the meaning here. The word even carries a tone of envy in it. When you study the word, theological word book of the Old Testament says, Asher is a word of envious desire. A word of envious desire. It carries the thought of being envied, being in an enviable position or condition. Okay, the man who fears the Lord and walks in His ways, everyone goes, oh, lucky. It's that kind of a thought. Oh, I wish I was like that guy. I wish I had it like that guy had it. And that's sort of the idea. This is a very blessed, very fortunate, enviable kind of a person that you see the blessing of God on their life and you think, wow, how fortunate he is. And so that's sort of the meaning of the word, to be blessed, to be envied, to be the envy of others because they see the outpouring of God's goodness upon you. And the writer says, this is true for who? Everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Now, you know, I mean, you could spend a lot of time talking about that too. What does it mean to fear the Lord? You could trace that concept all through the Old Testament and New Testament, fear the Lord. But essentially it means to have reverence and awe for the Lord, to honor him, to live with a constant sense of awareness of his presence, right? And to want to honor him with your life. Or it means, again, to walk in his ways. If you really love the Lord, if you really honor the Lord, if you really fear the Lord, what are you going to do? You're going to obey him. So fear carries sort of the idea of reverence and a worshipful attitude, and then walking in his ways, a life of practical and faithful obedience to his word. That's the person. That's the life God blesses. You are blessed if that is you. Psalm 1 puts it in these terms: how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 2:11 puts it in these terms: worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest you become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. So you trust in the Lord. You don't turn aside from the Lord. You follow him. You're faithful to him. You're blessed. Psalm 84, verse 5, how blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. And 84:12, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. So you get this picture of, put all this together, you get a composite of a person who trusts in the Lord, who delights in the Lord, who loves the Lord, who wants to obey the Lord and walk in obedience to the Lord and honor the Lord with his life. How blessed is everyone like that? Psalm 119:1, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. Same thing. So, what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to trust him, take refuge in him, worship him, seek him with all your heart. Not turn to your own wisdom or to the proud or to the ungodly. What does it mean to walk in his ways? It means to meditate in his word, to live according to his revealed truth, observe his testimonies, live righteously. And that is to be the normal pattern for every true believer. Right? That should be the description. Not that we're perfect, but that's the direction. That's the consistent pattern of our life. You fear the Lord, you walk in his ways. Blessed is everyone who does that. Now, secondly then, how does the Lord bless? That's who or whom he blesses. How does he bless? And here we see just really some practical things. Verse 2, there's one thought. Verse 3 and 4, another. And then 5 and 6, another. So let's look at these three very tangible ways the Lord blesses his people. First of all, the Lord will bless you. And we want to make principles here and not get caught up too much in the particulars of the fruitful vine and olive plants around your table and all that. Just what's the main point here? That's what we're after. And the first one in verse 2, the Lord will bless you with, we could say, enjoyment from your employment. Okay? When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, you'll be blessed, and it will be well, it will be good. Okay? Eating of the fruit of your hands, or the labor of your hands, right? That's just saying, look, when you're blessed, when you're living in the fear of the Lord and walking in His ways, you are going to be able to enjoy the fruit of your labor. You may have a crummy job with lousy pay, but God can make you happy even with that. God can make your work meaningful and productive and profitable and enable you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. I think it was last week we read Ecclesiastes 5:19. When God provides work and wealth and enables us to eat from them, that is a reward, that is the gift of God. And that's the idea here. You may never get rich. You may live from day to day or month to month, as most of us maybe do, but you will be able to enjoy it and pillow your head at night and sleep satisfied. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. That is a blessing of God, as we said last time, just being able to go to work every day and come home every night and go to sleep in your own bed and get up the next day and do it all over again. And that is not something we take for granted. We understand that. Worthwhile work, food to eat, satisfying sleep is a very tangible and practical blessing. The Lord blesses those who fear Him and walk in His ways in that sort of a practical, tangible way. Now, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, but those who pursue godliness can be content with food and covering and know that God is with them and will provide what they need and will enable them to enjoy it and be happy. Secondly, the Lord will bless you with happiness in your home. Let's summarize it that way, verses 3 and 4. Happiness in your home. Verse 3, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Some of you understand exactly what that's like. You try to sit down and have a meal, and there's just things moving all around your feet. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Again, this is poetry. Right? Imagery. It's an analogy. It's a picture. Don't get too caught up in the details of it. It's just a picture, a description of a healthy, happy home life. Okay? And again, not every man will have a wife. Not all couples will have children. This isn't a promise in that sense. Or a one-size-fits-all kind of a description. But obviously, in that culture and in the lifestyle of ancient Israel, having a large family was a very practical necessity, wasn't it? Many hands make light the work. And so that was a tangible way that God blessed His people. He wanted them to be fruitful and multiply. And it is a blessing, obviously. It's a wonderful blessing when the Lord gives us a happy home, gives us children. And you know, the picture of a vine, the olive plants, shoots really springing up everywhere. That's just a picture of abundance, right? And fruitfulness. And that is a huge blessing, and we see it as that. We understand it as that. When you have children, you rightly see that as the blessing of God, and you give Him praise and thanks for it. We learned that from Psalm 127. It's the Lord who gives children, and we know that. So that's part of the blessing of God. But even if you aren't married, even if you don't have children, the point of just having contentment, having a fruitful home life, and being blessed in that sense with joy and happiness within your home, that is the blessing of God. Thirdly, then, we could say, too, based on verses 5 and 6, the Lord will bless you with fulfillment for your future. Fulfillment for your future. The Lord bless you from Zion. Here we move kind of more into the future and even more into a prayer. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So we move from individual blessing to national blessing. We move from present blessing to future blessing. This sort of covers the whole range. But the key things are long life, right? All the days of your life. children and grandchildren and peace. That's about as good as it gets, right? What more could a man ask for than that? Long life, grandchildren, and peace. And again, it's not a promise, just a picture of the tangible ways in which God blesses His people. When you're faithful to fear the Lord and walk in His ways, you can look forward to a bright future. That's the principle here. You can look forward to the future with hope, with joy, with anticipation that, you know, your labor, your faithfulness is going to pay off, in a sense. It's going to come back to you with all kinds of blessings that you're going to enjoy as you get older and older. And this is part of that, the peace that comes, the grandchildren that come, the prosperity. Again, the word good that will flood your life. So this is a picture of God's blessing upon His people. Proverbs 22:4 maybe sums it up. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And those are the three things here. Riches, in the sense of fruit of being able to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Honor, in the sense of enjoying a happy home life and being kind of being the king of your own castle, so to speak. And then life, right? A full life, a long life filled with the blessings of children and grandchildren. So that's the picture the Lord gives us here of the blessing that He pours out on those who belong to Him. Now, for New Testament Christians, for living under the New Covenant, maybe we would characterize it a little bit differently than that, right? We would say, maybe let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and read what Paul says there about how the Lord has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, and read the whole list from election, predestination, and calling, and the redemption we have in Christ, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and all those things that Paul mentions there. But the point is the same, and the principle is the same. The life of a believer, the life of those who belong to the Lord, is a life of blessing. And I just would close by saying, you know, are we getting that across to people? Are we being faithful to communicate that accurately to the world, to unbelievers, to our neighbors, that the life that God wants for you is a life of blessing? God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to zap you. He doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. And here's how that works, and here's how you can be blessed. Is that the message we're getting across? I think that's the thing we take from this tonight, is are we accurately representing God's intentions in the world and God's mission in the world to bless people? That all the things He's done through these mountain peaks of history is with that intention, right? To bless. And so here we are. We've been blessed. What are we to do? We're to be a blessing, right? We're to be a blessing. So let's look at that in our own lives and think through how are we doing that? Are we doing that? And then even as we anticipate next Sunday night, giving praise, giving thanks to the Lord for the blessings that He's poured out upon us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time tonight. Thank You for this reminder of from Your word of really your game plan, what You're doing, what You're seeking to accomplish in the world to bring blessing. And You certainly have blessed us. We could all testify to that. And spiritual blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies is ours in Christ. Material blessings, that too. You just pour out so many blessings on us, Lord, and we want to be faithful to give thanks. We want to even give thanks publicly next Sunday night together. So we pray You bless that tonight. time and prepare us as we anticipate that together. But I pray we would be a blessing to the people around us. You would help us to think through how to do that, how to be a blessing in our neighborhood, how to be a blessing in our workplace, how to be a blessing in our home, in our extended family. I pray that we would be that. And you've called us for this purpose, that we would both inherit a blessing and be a blessing. So we want to be faithful to that. That is what best represents you. You are a God who is all about blessing people. So we praise you for that tonight. We thank you for that. We celebrate that this month of Thanksgiving. And we just rejoice in your kindness to us and the blessings you've poured out upon us in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. I invite you to stick around and have supper.